Welcome to Resourced and Resourceful Leadership, a podcast for people who care about the world and their impact in it. I'm your host, Dr. Christine Pettit. Thank you for listening in today. I'm so glad you're here. And I have a freebie for you that goes along with the theme of today's show, having and preparing for difficult conversations. Is there a conversation that you've been meaning to have but don't know quite how to approach it? Is there something you feel you need to speak up about but find yourself hesitating? You can download my favorite resources and a prep guide by going to my website, drchristinepettit.com/difficult. And that's DR, short for Dr. Christine, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, Pettit, PETIT.com/difficult. I'll also put the link in the show notes and you can get this free guide to help you out. I'll walk you through the guide in a minute, but first I thought I'd break down what are difficult conversations and why should we have them? Well, a difficult conversation is one that is challenging to have because there are conflicting perspectives and experiences, the stakes feel high, or we find the topic uncomfortable, but it's still important. In the book Crucial Conversations, these discussions are defined by three elements. Number one, high stakes. Number two, varying opinions. And three, strong emotions. Most of us aren't taught to have these conversations skillfully, which leads to a lot of unmet needs, hurt, conflict, and weakened relationships. I've experienced this myself, haven't we all? And I'm still practicing these skills. I'm not perfect at them by any means. I also see how our lack of ability to have these conversations in a timely and intentional manner hurts people, relationships, and organizations. It hurts our communities and our world as well. And this comes up over and over in the leadership coaching and organizational consulting that I do. In fact, the resource that I'm sharing with you now has evolved from this work. And it seems like every other day I'm sharing it with someone right now. When we learn to be more skillful and intentional in our conversations, we can bring more peace to our lives and to the world in our own small way. Part of why I do work around conflict and I'm continually learning about conflict is because looking at the world around me, it's clear that we need to do much better at navigating difference and conflict. In our own lives, being better versed and having difficult conversations can help us strengthen relationships, clear up misunderstandings, and find common ground, shared values, and agreement on next steps. Even when the outcome isn't exactly what we hoped for, maybe we lose sight of what's important during the conversation, or the other person wasn't able to meet us the way that we wanted, I think it's still a worthwhile practice. One of the resources I include in the guide are the 8 C's of self-leadership. Self-leadership is a core concept to internal family systems, which is a therapeutic modality. I mentioned it in previous podcast episodes, but it's one that I learned about in coaching, and it helps me, and I think it can help you and people in general, to understand ourselves better, the relationships that we're part of, and to take action from a grounded place. And the 8 C's can help with that, just thinking about which of these do I want to practice or embody. So the 8 C's are confidence, calm, compassion, courage, creativity, clarity, curiosity, and connectedness. As I'm sharing this, a few scenarios are coming to mind. One where I was not grounded in self-leadership, at least initially, and another where I was. So several years ago, I was an organizational leader, and staff meetings were becoming increasingly difficult for me because There were differing opinions about how decisions should be made in the organization, and my leadership had come under fire by some of the staff. I found myself falling into old patterns of avoidance, which led to more conflict. And when I did face my colleagues, my defenses were way up. Needless to say, this was not a productive position to cultivate understanding, to generate creative solutions, or even to speak with clarity. Coaching helped me recognize this armor as a part that was trying to keep me safe. Like, when I imagined myself in those meetings, I literally could feel this shield in particular, like right in front of my chest. So recognizing this armor as the part that was trying to keep me safe also helped me move forward with more leadership over the next year. And the coaching that I received helped me to move forward with more self-leadership over the next year as I prepared to transition out of the organization. Spending more time in self-energy and the eight C's of self helped me to not leave as an embattled leader, but as someone who is proud of the work I did, and with many, not all, of the relationships intact. There were definitely bumps in the road. Plus, it was 2020, and we were in the height of COVID at that point. I was juggling ED life with parenting a three-year-old at home, so it was rough. But yeah, overall, it was a rough time. The transition was one that I was planning, but also brought... It was kind of like at this critical point of like, this is not how I want to be living my life and like juggling even before COVID, parenting and ED life. And also I knew it wasn't my organization to lead long term. And maybe I'll talk about that. I probably will talk about that in another episode. But it was definitely helpful to recognize that I had this armor up that was not serving me. And then to once I brought that awareness in, to be able to practice how I wanted to actually show up. In another situation, I entered a conversation where I anticipated being laid off. So different organization, different timeline. In that case, I was able to ground myself in calm and clarity before the conversation. And while there wasn't much to be said in that conversation, I was laid off. I shared what was important for me to say. After that call, which was a Zoom meeting, I gathered myself and went out to a networking event that afternoon. It was my official launch into my full-time coaching and consulting work. The difficult conversation, resource, and prep guide linked in the show notes originated from my personal experiences and resources that I've gathered to support my clients. I shared the first version of it with just the resources as part of a conversation I facilitated in early 2024 with a labor union that was in turmoil over whether or not, and if yes, how, to take a public stand in support of a ceasefire in Gaza. Later, I created the second part of the guide, the questions to help you prepare for a difficult conversation, as I worked with people and teams to have conversations with partners, friends, colleagues, supervisors, and direct reports. It seems that everyone can use a little extra support when it comes to these challenging conversations. The resources I include in the guide are the eight C's of self-leadership, which I've already touched on, the crucial conversations model, and then a visual to help remind you to stay in the growth zone. And the growth zone as opposed to your comfort zone, as well as fight or flight. So you don't really want to be in either of those, and you want to recognize when you're kind of just hanging back in your comfort zone, or when you're moving into fight or flight, and to try to stay where you can grow and learn and be engaged in the conversation. A core assumption of the crucial conversations model is that we all benefit from conversations where each person is able to contribute their thoughts and experiences to the pool of shared meaning. When this happens, we have a better understanding of one another and can make better decisions together. And in this model, there are several skills for dialogue. The goal is to maintain safety in conversations and avoid moving into silence or verbal violence while also moving the conversation forward. So I created and am sharing this guide with a few things in mind. First, people approach challenging topics and conflict in different ways. Being intentional about how you want to show up and equipping yourself with these resources will help you navigate these situations more effectively and with less stress. Second, it's healthy to experience some discomfort. This is how we learn and grow. Third, disagreements are a normal and healthy part of relationships and organizations. I know we didn't all learn that growing up, but it is, and it's what we do with the disagreement that matters. And finally, while you can prepare for challenging conversations, you cannot control how the other person or people will receive you. So I encourage you to remember to plan for how you will take care of yourself before, during, and after difficult conversations. How can you take care of yourself before, during, and after these conversations? I'm going to share a few ways that I do this, but also be thinking about what might work for you, what else you could try. So before, definitely preparing. Hopefully the guide can be helpful for you, thinking about how I want to show up in the conversation, writing out some key thoughts, and then I think trying to go into those conversations as much as possible with my basic needs met. And by those, I mean getting enough sleep if I can, eating something that is going to fill me up and be nourishing, and maybe moving my body. I might also do something too to help regulate my nervous system. So movement is helpful for that. Dancing, maybe I'll sing a song, do some breathing. I know there's some great breathing exercises, but for me, just spending a little bit of time being intentional about that can be helpful. Other people might do box breathing. I think you like breathe in for four, hold for four, breathe out for four, and then hold for four and keep doing that. Some people might do that before a meeting to prepare or a conversation to prepare or even during. So I might, as I get ready for the meeting, write a few words like calm and clarity or connectedness and courage or whatever it is, whatever those kind of C's or other non-C words that I've picked out as my intention for how I want to show up. I might write those somewhere where I can see them or bring something that helps me stay present with my goals for the conversation. Maybe I bring like a stone or some other reminder of how I want to show up in the conversation. I'm also thinking about this meeting that I was part of many years ago. It was a long meeting. I feel like it was like a 7-hour day. It was kind of ridiculous. 7 or 8 hour meeting. It was a long planning meeting. And it was one where a colleague and I were a big part in convening the people, but our knowledge of the kind of community of people that we worked with. That was my alarm to get up and record this podcast if I fell asleep putting my daughter to bed. But here I am. Sorry, right in the middle of a juicy story. Okay, so check boxes. I don't know if I mentioned check boxes already. Let me restart this. Okay, so I was gonna be in this long meeting, 7 or 8 hours. My colleague and I had played a large part in convening the people who were there at the bequest of a key funder and a consultant that we were working with. However, in the process of creating the agenda and really the assumptions behind the agenda, the knowledge of the context that, like, what we knew about the work, my colleague and I, what we knew about the work, it was largely put aside. We felt very dismissed, and like the plan for the day was likely not going to have the outcome that the funder and consultant had cooked up. Knowing that, I thought about how I wanted to show up. Part of it was I had to let go, like release control of what was not in my sphere of control. I did everything I could up to that point, and then here I am in the meeting, and it's gonna be what it is. And I think the way that I did it was one, the way that I approached it was one, trying to take care of myself. And I remember I wrote some kind of note on my notepad about like maybe like calm or confidence, because I was fairly confident that what my colleague and I thought might happen in the meeting would. But I was also open to seeing how things unfolded. So, one of the things I also did was I put like 7 lines on my paper, like little, just short little lines, and I would put a check mark over each line every hour that passed. So, I was just like biding my time. But it helped me in that meeting where I just was like, I need to show up, I need to bring calm, confidence, openness into this space, despite how I have felt in the process. I will say the meeting went pretty much the way my colleague and I predicted, and that was okay. But it was very frustrating. So I was able, I think I drank tea, you know, like I intentionally drank tea and did things during the meeting to just be supportive there. So that wasn't a one-on-one conversation. This prep guide can also help prepare you for scenarios like that too. And I think, I don't know, now I don't know how well I did in the debrief conversation because it was years ago and I can't remember, but the guide would have been helpful in. Having those resources would have been helpful probably all along the way as we navigated this, but also in the debrief with the funder. So, during, write intentions where you can see them, bring a touchstone, do something, get a nice warm cup of tea or coffee or water. Do something that will just help you take care of yourself during the conversation. And remind you of how you want to show up. And then afterwards, you can talk with a friend, again, sing a song. I say this because singing actually helps us reset our autonomic nervous system, and it's one of my favorite ways of catharsis. Taking a walk, moving your body in some way. Using water as kind of a cleansing ritual, maybe you like to take a bath and just imagine the energy from that conversation draining out the bottom. Even just washing your hands and face can support that emotional hygiene. So, again, these are just a few ideas and examples, but I'm curious, what would you like to try or what else would work for you? So, I think I'm going to end here. There's definitely a lot more that I will say about this topic of conflict and difficult conversations in future episodes, including something that I want to look more deeply into, and that's the role of power dynamics and culture and other factors that shape the usefulness of some of these tools and frameworks and how we navigate challenging conversations and also the choices that we make. Just because you can have a difficult conversation, just because you can contribute to the pool of shared meaning, doesn't necessarily mean you will choose to do so. So those are some things I want to explore in the future, a little teaser for you. But thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Resourced and Resourceful Leadership Podcast. Remember to download your free difficult conversation resource and prep guide at drchristinepettit.com/difficult. I'm just like laughing at how funny it is to have like difficult after my name. But if you want to hear more of the Resourced and Resourceful Leadership Podcast, please follow or subscribe to the show wherever you like to listen or watch your podcasts. To support the show, please leave a 5-star review and share the show with a few people who you think would appreciate it. And please check out the link to SpeakPipe in the show notes. I'd love it if you left me a message about what stood out to you from this episode or topics you'd like me to cover in the future. So thanks again and take good care.